This is a special service this morning. I trust it's special for each one of us. Our council service, sometimes considered our self-examination service. Self-examination is a duty ordered upon all Christian believers. In Lamentations 3, verse 40, we read, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." 1 Corinthians 11:28, "But let any man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Examination prior to our communion service. 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves." Just a few verses, just to name a few. And thus the reason for this gathering here today, as we consider this is our council service, for the purpose of obtaining a knowledge of the standing of each member and the state of the congregation. So self-examinations, we examine our lives and see where we are at, how we are lining up with the Word of God. It's time to carefully consider our ways, our past words, our actions. Seek reconciliation where needed to maintain a clear conscience before God and others. And I trust it's a special time for each one of us. And the questions that we're going to answer, the questions that are in your mailbox, are not ones that we might just answer once or twice a year, but we should be able to answer them each day of our lives with a resounding yes to each one of the questions. The questions you have in your mailbox: do you have peace with God and your fellow man? We know who God is. Who's our fellow man? Those we associate with, including persons on a business level, our neighbors, those who meet at the store, and us as we're all gathered here this morning, brothers and sisters sitting beside you. That's who our fellow man is. Are you willing, is it your desire to live by and uphold the doctrines and the principles of Jesus Christ and His church? And the third one, are you planning to participate in communion service on October 9th? Is it your desire? And I pondered the questions for a while, and then I come up with a conclusion, which you probably did a long time ago, that although there are three questions, the answer needs to be the same for all of them. I can't honestly say no to the first or the second and then say yes to the third. And you can put it in however you want to say that. If I can say yes to one of the questions, I can say yes to all without hesitations. Do I have peace with God? Yes. Do I have peace with my fellow man? Yes. Can I uphold the doctrines and the guidelines of the church here at Myerstown? Yes. Do I desire communion? Yes. And think about it for a moment. Just ponder if I would say, well, I'm not looking forward to communion, but then obviously there's some peace issues. If I would say I can't uphold the doctrines, obviously there's some peace issues. If there's peace with God, with our fellow men, then obviously I'm not looking forward to the rest. And that's why I said we can't say yes to one and then and no to another. And here, because the questions are tied so closely together. 1 John 4:20 helps explain what I'm trying to say. It says this: if a man say, "I love God," so if we're here this morning, say, "I love God," and hate his brother, I'm reading from the Word of God. It says he is a liar. So it's strong, comes across, maybe we could say harsh, but at the same time we have to admit it's the truth. I can't say I appreciate James cooking or mixing his food, but I appreciate him as a brother. Thank you, James, for children's meeting. God bless you. If I hear your head cook at September Farms, I'm going to have questions about that. But until then, I think you'll be all right. But how can I say I love Steve or I love God, but Steve and I have some problems? You know, if a man say, "I love God," and hate his brother, he is a liar. The verse continues, "For he that hateth that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So it's not possible for me to say, I have peace with God, when I not had peace with somebody sitting here this morning. And this is something, our council service, we have twice a year, and let's take this serious, not something that we just answer the questions and go on with life. But we have to say, answer these questions properly. The questions that we're going to be answering that I read here a little bit ago, are all directly related with relationships. First of all, it's our relationship with God. Second of all, it's our relationship with our fellow man, which would be with us here this morning. Then it's our relationship with those who set the guidelines in place in the church. And it's our relationship with those in the congregation. A wise man once told me that our relationships are like a thread, you know, that you can stretch just a little bit, but once they pop. But what is our relationship like? Message child this morning is my relationship with God, and I'd like just to personalize that with each one here this morning. Can you say that, talk about our relationship with God? And I believe it starts right there with God. We saw in 1 John 4:20, we cannot confess to have peace with God and not our fellow man. So I question, how is your relationship with God? And I can't answer that for you. That's why we're talking about self-examination. But I can get a clear picture of your relationship by how you interact with others in the church body. It tells me, it speaks loud and clear. You know, God desires a very close relationship with his children. I just picture God as a relationship-loving father. And he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. God just says, I want to have a close relationship with you. I want to have a close relationship with you. I want there to be peace within us. A relationship that's open, free from any secrets or closed doors. No hidden agenda, but completely open. The questions on the paper in your mailbox are ones that you will have to answer later, or you had the blessing to answer later. But I'm going to look at 6 verses in the Bible this morning and that examine our relationship with God. Turn to the 23rd Psalm. And here we have a very familiar psalm, one most likely most of you have memorized way back in second or third grade. What I want you to do as you open up to this very familiar psalm, most you could probably recite it by memory. This is what I would like for us this morning. Try to picture and or get a hold of the depth of the relationship that David was experiencing with God. We're going to go through this here in a couple minutes, but the depth of that relationship, just try to get a hold of that. David and God, and then compare that with your relationship with God. Basically, hopefully, when we get to the verse 6, we can just look back over this and say, like, you know, this says, in my Bible, says a Psalm of David. Hopefully, this is what you can say as well in your relationship with God. Psalm 23:1, the Lord, David is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, it gets personal. The Lord means something to him. The Lord means something to me. We're not talking about a casual friend. This is deeper than shallow feelings. The relationship is established, and it is continuing. The Lord is my what? He is my shepherd. Now, right here we get a picture of David considering himself as one of the Lord's sheep. David is within the fold. The Lord is my shepherd. He's drawing a picture of the shepherd out there on the grassy mountainside with his flock of sheep. And the shepherd is being the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now let's take our minds just to Calvary for a second. He laid down his life. He gave it for you. He gave it for me. And may I add, no one took it. He gave it. And then verse 14 of John 10 says, I am the good shepherd. And beautiful words. He says, and know my sheep. And am known of mine. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Long before John told us back there in John 14 that Jesus is a good shepherd, way back here in Psalm, in the 23rd Psalm, David calls the Lord his shepherd. Jesus said he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And yes, he gave his life for his sheep. Think about sheep for a moment. Don't have any, did years ago. Sheep are defenseless animals, cannot survive long without a shepherd. Now, some of you might have sheep in your past, but it's a different story because if the storms come up, sheep run to the barn. I'm talking about sheep out in the mountainside way back in the time that we're talking here where the shepherd led them out for the day and brought them back into the fold at night. They're defenseless animals, can't survive long. Here we see David knew his limitations. He knew who he was. Like I said, he's considering himself as a sheep or as a lamb. He knew he needed to rely on the shepherd to make it through life. So he continues to write. He says, I shall not want. Almost written like a command, I shall not. No doubt here whatsoever as David was writing this. With Jesus as his shepherd, he was not going to live in need. He's recognizing Jesus as the one who was able to supply his needs. I'm not going to suffer hunger or thirst because Jesus will provide. First of all, what we see here is confidence. The confidence here is expressed rest on the Lord's perfection and his relation to his people. I have no need for want because I know the Lord is going to provide. There's another thing to consider. When David is saying, I shall not want, what is he saying? Yes, he's saying the Lord's going to supply my needs. But he also is saying, I have no need to look anywhere else because the Lord is going to supply. Allow me to repeat, Frank Reed talks about his favorite word. He mentioned it yesterday, by the way, Glossenheit, and talked about how we're just complete in Christ. No need to look anywhere else. Do you have that feeling this morning? We talk about our relationships with the Lord. Are you complete in Christ? That confidence you have just resting in Christ. I have no need to look anywhere else for anything or anybody else to supply my need because I am complete in Christ. I shall not want. For him to write them words is strong. But I'm just thinking about his relationship with the Lord. He's saying, Lord, you are my shepherd. I'm not going to want anything because you are there for me. Do you have that feeling this morning? Contentment. Brokenness. Oh, I'm not going to do anything on my own. I'm going to rely on the shepherd to guide me. And this can be true for us this morning. We are complete in Christ. Today, if a business fails to provide the service that we expect or desire, we quickly turn to another, but not so with our relationship with Christ. Let's not turn to another. First of all, we'll receive nothing but the best from the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, we will look no further, for Jesus Christ is all I need. Can we say, I shall not want, because he is just there for us. So notice the relationship thus far, relying completely upon the shepherd for his needs, just not looking anywhere else. There was nothing hindering their relationship, nothing between the two of them. You think you know what I'm talking about. Other than a complete open communication combined with perfect peace and trust. Moving on, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not only complete trust, but here we see complete confidence. In green pastures, indicating he was full and satisfied, and there was plenty of green pasture remaining. The Lord supplied his need, and there was abundant remaining. The green pasture also tells me that David was willing to humbly follow the shepherd. As Jesus led him over the bare rocky places and hills to the green grass by the water's edge. Because of their relationship, David didn't question where he was being led, but just humbly followed the Savior, the shepherd. Trust we see coming into the picture here now. Confidence, as David just followed without concern and without doubt. He says, lie down in green pastures. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. Brothers and sisters, this shows, again, the confidence that the sheep have in their shepherd to watch for danger while the sheep lay down and rest without fear. And this is big. We live in a time of turmoil and trouble. But with him watching over us, we can lie down and rest in peace. And remember I said, if we can just try to get a picture of this. So you picture the sheep laying there, bottom edge of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, with a stream close by, just restfully resting there in peace. It's just a beautiful picture, without a worry on their mind, because the shepherd was there. Resting peacefully on the green grass and not having to lay down on the bare rocky places. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, David had been a shepherd prior to being anointed king by Samuel. He knew all about the sheep, and what we see here in this psalm is a clear picture of how a good shepherd cares for a sheep. David knew that sheep can't drink water that's rushing and troubled and muddy. They need to be led to a place where the water is pure and quiet in order to get the drink that they need. And he's recognizing the good shepherd as one who, first of all, sees the need of the sheep and then fulfills it. He leads me by the still water. He knows what I need. He knows my need, and he'll take care of that. Do his best to fulfill it. I think we're all aware that there's two sides to every relationship. And so far, we mainly looked at the shepherd's guidance and care, how he leads and directs. But let's look at the sheep just for a moment. The sheep, so far as we see, they obeyed the voice of the shepherd. So here we see obedience. They followed the shepherd. Again, that's confidence and trust comes in brokenness. Just follow wherever he leads. Here we see they're in tune with the shepherd. And as we looked earlier, they're not running to and fro trying to find something else to meet their need. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about a relationship with a master. And David paints a very good picture. What Jesus said in Matthew 11:28 is a promise. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he said, "I will," almost like a command again, "I will give you rest." The conditions are there, but the promise is there. That promise is for you. That promise is for me. That promise is beautiful, but we need to come. And here we see David experiencing that way back in the 23rd Psalm. David was there. My agenda is gone. I will come and I will follow. He accepted the shepherd's protection and was receiving the promised rest. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." David's physical needs were met. Now he makes mention of his soul. When the soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When it is sinful, he sanctifies it. When it is weak, he strengthens it. The verse 3 says he does it. Again, he takes care of us. Restores my soul. To restore is to comfort or to refresh, to bring back to him. Wandering sheep, he restores my soul. Any of us here this morning are low in grace? Do we feel that our spirituality is at its lowest ebb? He who turns the ebb, I'm quoting, "He who turns the ebb into the flood can soon restore our soul." So what do we need to do? Pray to him, and then for the blessing, restore thou me, thou shepherd of my soul. Again, along with the confidence and the trust, I repeat, the brokenness. Just, "Lord, here I am. Just restore me." "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." The Lord is not only interested in providing for our physical needs. Verse 2 there. Not only for our physical needs, but he's careful on the path that he leads us on. There's much evil around us. That's not a question. That's a fact. But we as sheep, we dearly value our relationship with the master, with the shepherd. So we're careful not to cause any conflict. So what do? We follow him closely, not willing to lose sight of our leader. And that's what David did. Is that where you and I are at here this morning? Just following that shepherd. I won't lose sight of him. You ever following someone on the road and they're leading you a place, you're taking you to their house, for say? You just do whatever you can to make sure that you don't lose sight of that vehicle. Is that how we are with our Lord? Paths of righteousness, talking about paths that are straight and plain and safe. Where the sheep are neither hurt nor weary nor in danger of wandering. By his word, he directs us on the right paths, the ways of truth, the ways of holiness and righteousness. We're directed there. We need to follow. By his spirit, he inclines and enables us to choose them and to continue to walk in them. So he leads us to them. Then his Holy Spirit guides and directs. Again, the responsibility is on us. We need to humbly and meekly follow. He maps out the path for us, so to speak, so we know exactly where to go. "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so." And that's just another beautiful picture of just being, Lord, where you lead, I will go. It's crushing our agenda and following him. So compare your relationship with the relationship that David had with the Good Shepherd. Do we have this level of open of peace and open communication? Is this where you find yourself at? Can you say a psalm of and put your name in there? The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. He restoreth my soul. And he directs me around the bed and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, which is the next one. For his name's sake. Does the path that we are on bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord? We talked in our Sunday school class this morning a little bit about our countenance. As we go on through life, self is removed. Are we traveling through life with a smile on our face? Are you happily and joyfully serving the Lord? Your countenance speaks volumes. And we're serving him for his name's sake, not for ours, but we're doing, bringing him honor and him glory for the demonstration of glory of his justice, his faithfulness and goodness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me down that path so that I can bring him glory and honor. Just a shepherd walking on that narrow path, and it's the string of sheep just humbly following him. Not looking here for to fulfill needs or starting to eat a thorn bush or a thistle. No. Knowing, although hungry, possibly, knowing the shepherd's going to lead us to the place where we can find rest and we can find food. Beautiful picture that David is painting here. Verse 4, we're introduced to fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there might be some dark paths that we're led to go on with the possibility of danger lurking around the next bend or the next tree. Then we have the fear of the unknown sets in. But look carefully. If you can picture now we're on a dark trail, the shepherd's leading, and danger's close, and the fear is starting to creep through. But David didn't stop. He says this, yea, though I walk, although I'm going to walk through them places, Lord, I know I'm going to have to, you're going to take me there. So he's not questioning that. He said, even considered a valley of the shadow of death. So death would be considered at hand, nigh, we could say. Dangerous times. But this is what he said. Get a close hold of this. He says this in verse 4. I will fear no evil. Brothers and sisters, he was fully aware of the presence of the shepherd. So where are you at this morning? If you're thinking, you know, Leon, how can I have peace when you don't understand where I'm at? I don't, but I am aware that the presence of the shepherd is near. And you do not have to fear any evil. As verse 4 continues, for thou art with me. But the 23rd Psalm is about the sheep that are following the shepherd. The 23rd Psalm is not talking about the sheep that wandered and they're out on the rock someplace in danger. He's talking about the sheep that are following the shepherd. The question on the paper you're going to answer later on, do you understand the very presence of the peace that David was experiencing as he was traveling on this path? This is beautiful. Lord, this path has a possibility of causing me harm, but I will remove my fears from my mind and replace it with perfect peace because, Lord, you are here. Your rod and your staff will protect me from whatever will try to cause me harm. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd protects his sheep, those who follow him, and he will comfort them. But it all stems back to our relationship with the shepherd. Is it one of ultimate peace and utmost contentment? I am with the shepherd, and I have peace right there. Verse 5, the picture changes. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now it changes from that green pasture by the river, by the brook, to a table in the presence of his enemies. Here we have a banquet provided. Not only with plenty of food, but with plenty of protection. The table is set. He sits down with confidence and eats in peace, although surrounded by enemies. How is this possible? It's another picture of God's protecting hand upon his children. God's staying there, if you can, beside the table, with his blessing upon the meal. No one can get near, do any harm, as the invited guests eat in peace. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Pours out his blessing upon us. It was a custom of their day, a common token of joy. We know that perfumed oil was poured upon the heads of distinguished guests. If you go to Luke 7:46, the woman there poured that ointment of spikenard on the head of our Lord. She only acted according to the custom of her land. One which was to host, which one that invited Jesus to his house, he neglected. But she took care of that. Distinguished guests, those who receive this kind of gesture and love, are those who are walking in obedience with the Lord. My cup runneth over. Was he referring to his cup of blessings? Lord, you have abundantly blessed me to the point I can hardly contain it. My cup is running over. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Beautiful. Do you feel that this morning? The Lord blessing you with peace. Is your countenance radiant? Are you enjoying the joy of the Lord, as Jim talked about in his devotional this morning? Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Church, the confidence of David here is nothing less than amazing, but it's absolutely true. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. As a child of God, we have this promise being handed to us as well. We have this promise. This promise is for us. As long as we maintain a strong, healthy relationship with the Lord, we can claim this promise. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. Quite a statement for David to make, but he was correct. We serve a God who desires relationships. We serve a God who desires relationship. A God who is ready and willing to abundantly bless those who live in peace with him and with their fellow man. And along with that, God's goodness and God's mercy is just going to continue to follow us as long as we have life here on earth. In the last 10 words of this psalm, without a doubt and full of confidence, David said, and folks, just picture, we're talking Old Testament scripture. But this is what he said many, many years ago. He says, in verse 1, I shall not want, almost like a command. And verse 6, I will, almost like a command again. I will do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is no doubt there. He has the confidence that when we are walking with the Lord, when you and I are experiencing that kind of relationship that David had with Jesus, we can say that as well. This can be a psalm of, put your name in there. I will, because I am walking with the Lord. That open communication, that relationship is so strong. Peace, absolutely. Glory, I have peace with my Lord. And if not, it's available. We could go and talk about forgiveness for a while. Beautiful picture there as well. Jesus desired, I said he desires relationships. He does, but he desires forgiveness as well. He's there to forgive when we come to him. Promises are there. So are the conditions. But what David has here, the relationship that he has here, is what I want you to have with him. And myself as well. Just that perfect peace which passes all understanding. Man can't describe, but we can know it within our hearts. And what's in our hearts will radiate on our faces. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The scene in verse 6 is in heaven, in the very presence of the Lord. And that's where it will continue for the child of God. It started way back in verse 1 with a small, defenseless lamb who was open and willing to be led by the shepherd. The relationship was developed as from a small lamb. The lamb humbly followed the shepherd. The shepherd met the needs of this lamb. The shepherd made sure the lamb got plenty of rest and plenty to eat and plenty to drink. The lamb was led on the correct paths. The lamb relied completely on the shepherd through the hard times in life. And the comforting hand of the Lord was ever present. The table was set and dined peacefully under the watchful eye of the Lord. The blessings flowed, and the streets of heaven are waiting for the feet of the faithful. It starts and ends in 6 short verses. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. And the chorus says, come and dine. David had peace with God. The relationship described here between David and the Lord is priceless, yet available for you and for me. My prayer is, oh God, please, that no one will struggle with that question paper that was put in your mailbox. This should not be a difficult assignment. I go back to my first words. This should be considered a special service that you can say and write it with confidence that later when Jim looks at it, check mark. Maybe you can add a smiley face. You have peace with God. Maybe you can add it afterwards. I think he would appreciate that. Amen! I have peace with God. Oh my. That's what we need. How did it come to the end of verse 6, the last 10 verses? Look at the verse, other 5. Oh, this is beautiful. How do we come to the Lord? Just as a calm little broken sheep. God, just show me. David told us about his relationship with the Lord. How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you have peace with God and your fellow man? May God abundantly bless you as you journey on until you reach the end of verse 6 in Psalm 23. And there I see nothing other than eternal, eternal happiness. Let's pray. God, we just come before you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this peace that we can have with you. And I pray for each soul here this morning, Lord, that we can have this kind of peace that passes understanding, that we can have this kind of relationship with you as we see that David had, as he paints this vivid picture, and it is so beautiful. Help us, Lord, to be like a little sheep, just broken and humble in your sight, to follow where you want, to follow you as you lead us, to enjoy your blessings as you pour them out so abundantly upon us, to sit at your table and eat knowing we're completely and securely protected. And then as we attend, just to step into the gates, the pearly gates, and walk on the streets of heaven, Lord, may we do that as David mentioned here as well. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I ask your blessing upon each one this morning. Thank you for each one who come out. Bless them, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a song, please.